Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Hey, y'all. I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Episode 329. You said it so like... And da-da-da-da-da.
Well, I had sweet tea at dinner.
Colby had bread pudding for dessert, and we got it for free because today is his birthday.
That's right.
39. Feeling fine. Remember when we used to do that every episode? Lame.
Yes.
How annoying were we?
Still annoying.
Yeah, I mean, very annoying, but like we just do different things annoying now.
Yeah. Okay, well, I have a lot to say.
Damn it, I do too. Okay, go.
Oh, shit. Okay. Well, I have been dying to tell you this. You know, I'm not good at keeping a secret.
We all know. Continue.
Okay. Picture it. Friday at work, all right? We were maybe going to record after work and stuff. So I was like, okay, well, I had really wanted to go to Home Goods.
Yeah.
I've just been watching TikToks and I'm like, I want to go to Home Goods. And I haven't been to the one that's opened up here. And I was like, I'm going to go. And I was like, no, I won't go. And then I needed to stay late at work. And so I was like, hey, are we going to record and all the things, you know? So as I stayed late at work, after that, I was like, I need to stay here with Birdie, whatever. But then I was like, no, I really want to go to Home Goods. So I'm just going to go over there and see what it is, walk around for a minute and do whatever. I go over and like, again, so I should not have been there at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the dead beaver, still fucking there.
Oh, I see it every fucking morning on the way to work. And I'm like, God damn, that beaver is still there. That's what Colby says every time he comes home.
Oh, Lord. Okay. So I'm walking around. One, I see a girl that I used to see all the time because she used to work at McDonald's. She was like, oh, my God, I haven't seen you in forever. She was like, I don't work there anymore, obviously. She was telling me where else she works. So we're catching all up, you know, doing all the things. And because, you know, I knew her life story. So she was doing the things. Well, I'm like, well, I'm so glad that I came out here and I got to see her and know that she like finally got her car. Like I was so happy. I go down another aisle and there's this woman who is looking at a Stitch, like a Lilo and Stitch bath mat. Because do I need a bath mat? Not really, but I was going down that aisle. Okay. Mm-hmm. And did I buy one? Yes. But she was like, oh, you caught me because she's just like looking at it, you know? And then she was like, I know you. And I was like, huh?
Y'all, if you could see Donna's hair right now with her head cocked to the side going, huh? With her fucking
cockatoo
meets pebbles. It's too much.
She took a video of it.
And then promptly accidentally deleted it.
But anyway, so she's like, you have a podcast. And I was like, yes, you know. And her name is Wendy. Also, she was looking fabulous in a red dress. Her hair was curly, had perfect little glasses on. Me, I looked basically like this.
Oh,
okay?
Okay.
And I was like,
were you as awkward as I was?
No.
Okay.
No, never. We talk and
not ever
about the awkwardness of meeting people.
Yeah, but like you are awkward sometimes.
Oh, I'm awkward, but like not the awkward you were. No, never. I'm awkward in different ways.
Yes, but I'm just saying the caliber of awkwardness you can match.
Oh, yeah.
Just
yeah,
not
yeah.
in that specific situation.
No, meanwhile, I'd be like, hey. And you're like, what? I'd be like, I think she listens and she has a t-shirt. Like, yeah. I would be the one being like, what's his name?
Forrest Gump.
Okay, so I'd talk to Wendy, super sweet, but she's not from around here. She lives in central Mississippi.
What?
So I was like, oh my God. Like, I don't know what's going on because, like, I wasn't even supposed to be there.
And, right.
Like, I would have been there earlier had I got off work at the right time. But, like, what are the chances of us running into each other? You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. That's cool.
Super, super amazing. But then, so Tiffany called me while I was there. And, you know, I'm one of those people who have my ringtone is
the
our
podcast.
Intro music.
Yeah.
And I had just met Wendy and my ringtone was going off after that. And I was like, oh my God, I got to get this. Like, I got to do this because Wendy's going to be like, girl, no.
Yes.
But, you know, And so I was telling Tiffany, I was like, oh my God, I just met a listener, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And she was asking like about it. And I was like, I think she's kind of close. I can't say it. It's going to be awkward, you know? But so like we talked about that and like, but it was just so like, what the hell, you know? And me and Tiffany were just saying, what are the chances? Like Wendy said that she was there in town for her kid's birthday and she was like, no, I want to go to Home Goods.
Yeah.
You know, like what? And so it was just a sweet moment and love her. And she joined the Facebook group. But then, so that's Friday. Sunday at work, also looking like this, not with the cockatoo hair, but I had gotten like a shower and like my hair was fine, but I was wearing my Hoochie Mama shorts.
Oh, Lord.
And a tank top that I think they might have been the same color. And I'm pumping my gas, and this girl says, hey, do you have a podcast? I was like, yeah. We're sharing the pump. Like,
oh, my God.
And so her name's Jade, and she does live in Petal. But I was like, oh, my goodness. But so we talk, and I'm like, oh, my gosh.
That's like, crazy. Two in one weekend?
I was like, again, and also, this was another one of those moments where I shouldn't have been there. I was at lunch, and I was supposed to have went and got Walgreens to get my Lunesta filled, okay? But I did it online, like, on my app. I thought it went through, and then it had said, like, call them. So I was a day behind, you know? And so when I called, they were like, it'll be 4 hours. And I'm like, I don't have 4 hours, you know? And so I went there first instead of getting gas. So they could be like, oh, it'll be 15 minutes. You know how you go there and they're like, oh, I could get it ready in 15 minutes. So I was like, by the time I get gas, get food, go back there, I'll be able to go back to work. So like I backtracked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I shouldn't even been there when Jade was there, but I was. So I don't know what the universe is trying to tell me, but I was like, people listen. Maybe because we do forget. People listen, you know? And so
maybe the universe was telling you to get dressed.
Okay. For reals, though. Because I was like, oh, my God. Embarrassing.
Oh, meanwhile, like, I haven't washed my hair in 4 days. And I look exactly like you look right now. Haven't worn makeup since COVID.
Oh, and also, Jade was gorgeous. And I was like, well, don't look at me because I look terrible, but you look great.
Right.
And she had just got back from a baby shower. So she was like, so I had to. But yeah, and I was like, oh gosh, because I almost said, I love your skirt because it had like a little slit, but I was like, we're staying in here and I'm trying to work on my awkwardness of that. But I was like, well, I got to tell her anyway.
That's awesome. Well, hey, Wendy and Jade. Okay, really quick though, we do have to say that we were absolutely wrong about the Hawktooey girl. She did not get fired from her job.
Also, I love that you said Hawktooey.
Well, what would you say?
Hawktua.
Well, you know, that's the sound I make.
Okay.
Well, anyway, the Hawktooey girl. What'd you say?
Hawktua.
Hawktua girl. If you hadn't seen all those TikToks, you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Just ignore us. But last episode, we said that, like, everybody on TikTok was saying she had lost her job. I forgot what podcast she was on, but... And she was like, no, I'm not a teacher. I didn't get fired. She was like, I worked at a spring factory. My dad's not a preacher. And she's like, about to cash in on her 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah. And I was like, God, someone said, you mean the internet lied?
Book it for her, girl. Make that money while you can.
Hell yeah. Also, she's 20. So, like, do it while you can. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? She doesn't have, not that at 20 you don't have responsibilities, but she doesn't have those responsibilities.
Yeah. So, moved to New York, moved to LA, moved to whatever. Yeah. Girl, get it. Well, we had my sister's 50th surprise birthday party this weekend, and we had it at one of my other sister's houses who has a swimming pool. And then my other sister was in town too, because I got three sisters. She was in town. She's the one with the little kids. Well, her daughter, Allie, who's 7, like swam up to Colby and me. She was like, what are y'all talking about? Romance things. I said, what is romance things? Like, what will we be talking about? She said, I don't know. Love. Well, then later she got up on the diving board to do something. And like I hugged Colby or I don't know, something, tried to tackle him in the water. I don't know. And she goes, like from the diving board, stop romancing down there. Guess she just learned a new word.
Right? I love that. What are y'all talking about? Like, who is she, me? Well, speaking of kids, me and Tiffany played Boggle the other day. And because I had an extra, like I had the back of the paper. She was like, what are you doing? I was like, nothing. And like we played MASH. We are old and pathetic because for the guys' names, for her, she was like, I don't know anyone. Like, and so I was like, let's just do general things. Cowboy. But I mean, me, I had like two names, but like they're actually just friends. Like it was just their actual people.
Yeah.
But then the third one, I think I might have put like Australian or something. Like, and then we were just like, I mean, where would we want it? Like, it's too realistic. Like,
yes.
We're too old now. So it's like, what do we do? Okay. And like, so we, you know how you do the numbers? Because mm-hmm. We both always do 0, 1, 2, because it's supposed to be kids. She was yeah. Like, we're going to do pets.
Love that.
But it was just hilarious. It's like, damn, this is sad. Like, we have no, like, nothing, yeah. You know? But it was just too funny. I was like, God. MASH isn't what it used to be because none of that stuff came true. I'll tell you that right now.
We're not living in a shack.
That is true.
Or a mansion.
Or that is true.
Because it was always those two. Like, you never landed on any of the other ones. You always were in a mansion or a shack.
Yes.
Which is kind of problematic, actually. But, you know, here we are.
Oh, God. But, okay. Also, I do have something to ask. Because I know Jax is a tough chewer. His toys are usually, like, rough, like mm-hmm. You know what I mean, and like Birdie likes that, but I'm so used to Marley, who was a gentle, like she would take the eyes off and stuff, but like, you know, she could have the fluffy mm-hmm. things. Birdie can, but she likes them. But I need cute toys that are good for tough chewers. So if anyone out there knows any toys, please let me know, because I was at Home Goods. I got one that said for tough chewers.
No, those are never for tough chewers.
No.
There's one brand, I forget what it's called. It's one of Jax's toys. I think Kong makes some soft ones now that are supposed to be tough too, but they're like plushy.
Yeah.
So you might try those.
Because I'm just like, I want cute toys. I like cute toys. She's not a cute toy girl, okay? Like, she murders them. In less than an hour, she had that out. Done, ripped, all the things. And I'm like, tough chewer, they said. Okay.
No, if they say it's for tough chewer, it never is.
So I know a lot of people have bigger dogs and everything, because I'm just not used to that. Like, poor Marley's ball from Smeralia. Love that ball, but it's deflated.
Yeah.
But again, I don't want just like bones and stuff, because she does have some of those, but like cute toys.
You do always get the cute toys.
I know. And she loves them, but
she just destroys them.
Yes.
Well, speaking of things that we love, we got to talk about Patreoners. Thank you so much, Aaron R. from Texas.
Amanda B. from Indiana.
Taryn W. from the UK.
Chastity W. from Missouri.
And Nicole K. from, well, we don't know where you're from. So, Nicole, send us your address so we can send you the thank you card with the stickers and all the good that these mother humpas are getting every single week. So if you want all that these people are getting, head on over to patreon.com/theapcpodcast. Well, before we get into Donna's story, we have to talk about Factor Meals. It's summer and it is the time to be outside playing in water, not inside cooking your meals for lunch.
Also, it just makes it so hot when you have the stove on,
oh,
the oven.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. This is the first time I've ever had a gas stove in my life. And when I tell you, it literally heats the whole house. It is so hot. It is too hot outside to be turning that thing on when you can get a Factor meal that is fresh, never frozen, dietitian approved to be ready in just 2 minutes.
No matter how busy you are, you will always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals.
And we're not playing when we say they are great tasting. They really are so good. With over 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every single week, you're always going to have new flavors to explore, new things to try. You're never going to get burnout.
But also, if you do have a hyperfixation meal like we normally do, you can order that the entire time too.
I have a couple of coworkers who get Factor meals too. And I'm like, which one you got? Which one you got today? That looks real good. Which one is that?
Exactly.
And they really are so yummy.
And like she said, they're dietitian approved. And from breakfast to dessert, you can stay fueled with easy, nutritious options.
And you can pick from preferences based on what your goals are. So do you want to maximize your protein? Do you want to avoid meat? Or are you like, look, I just want something that's well-balanced that I can pop in the microwave and it be ready in 2 minutes? You have that option. With Factor, you can really tailor it to what your needs are. And even better, ready in 2 minutes, no shopping, no prepping, no cooking, or no cleaning up.
Right. Because of how they're made, the container, it has your meat, like the main course, and then the side. On the side. And I love that because that's just one less thing you have to do and I can get to my meal faster.
So right now, if you want to try Factor Meals, we got a deal for you. Head to factormeals.com/creep50 and use the promo code creep50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month.
That's code creep50 at factormeals.com/creep50. To get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
These meals are so good, you will not be disappointed. Head on over to factormeals.com/creep50 and use the promo code creep50 at checkout.
So we talked about everything I loved, but you know something I really don't like? Musicals. You know this, right?
Like, yeah, I don't know why.
I know. I don't either. Like, but there's one that I really love, and it's Singing in the Rain.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. You get that glorious feeling, and you're happy again?
Exactly. Like, I literally will sing the Good Morning song all the time.
It's one of my favorites.
When I was doing my script, I even put, you know how I freaking love that moment when they're trying to cover up her voice with the other girl singing?
Yes, that is a good part.
Yes. Oh, I love it. Because she was a huge silent actor, but her voice wasn't translating well. And definitely not singing because it was always the other girl. Anyway, this story I'm talking about is intertwined in that same era of Hollywood. And it's about Hollywood royalty, Mary Pickford and Douglas Fairbanks. Now, I didn't know about them before this, but again, I really don't like old movies or anything. But you know how we do those little mashups of names now, like Kimye and Brangelina or whatever it was, Brangelina?
Yeah.
Well, that's not something that we created. It's been happening. And Mary and Douglas, when they got together and they built a house, they called it Pickfair Estate, which is a mashup of their names. So a little backstory about them both. Mary was, again, one of those silent movie stars who was a hot ticket. She was born Gladys Marie Smith in 1892. She started acting pretty young, and by 1907, she had landed a role in a Broadway play, and that's when she took on her new name, Mary Pickford. This is what I don't understand. How is a Broadway play silent then? But maybe they talked, but it just, I don't know. But she was a huge silent film actress.
Well, I don't feel like all Broadways have to be musicals. Is that a thing? Am I making that up?
I have no idea.
I feel like we should know this. I feel like this is a trick question. But I feel like I can see how it would be, though. I think it would be weird that you could hear him like clomp, clomp, clomping on the stage, but like no words. That's kind of weird.
Yeah. But when I say she was a hot ticket, she was in 51 movies in her first year. She was given the nickname of Blondie Locks, or the girl with golden curls. And she also was the first to become known as America's sweetheart.
Well, because we know back then, they worked those poor actors and actresses to the bone.
Yes.
I mean, she probably did all those films and stuff in 1 year.
Right. I did say it was her first year.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I swear I'm listening, y'all.
She made history as the first actress to sign a $1 million deal.
Damn. In what year?
In the early 1900s.
Shit. I wonder what that would be in today's money.
No idea. And maybe how they said it was $1 million in today's money. And
yeah,
I don't know. They never like tell if they're converting it or not.
Yeah.
However, she started as a child actor and her audience just didn't stay with her when she transitioned into older roles. Especially when she chopped off her hair into a bob and said bye-bye to her famous ringlets.
This is giving me the Taylor Swift song, Clarabo, and then mm-hmm. Clarabo becomes Stevie Nicks, and then Stevie Nicks becomes Taylor Swift, and then the next person. And this is giving me pre-Shirley Temple, Shirley Temple.
Right. Well, this was giving me Carrie Russell vibes.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because when Carrie Russell cut off her hair in Felicity,
yeah,
that like was, I don't know, America fucking gasp on that because yeah. her hair was just like everyone loved her hair. And for her to cut that off, it was just such a like,
yeah,
why would you do that? I mean, it was the first thing of it's her body. She should be able to do what she wants.
Right.
But, you know, but I just remember that. But also I was obsessed with Felicity. Now back to Mary. She did win an Academy Award for her first speaking role, which was in Coquette, but that was the height of her career. And as hot as she was at one point, she fizzled out and got cold. But something that was still red hot was her marriage to Douglas Fairbanks. So he's the fair in the Pickfair estate. So let's talk about him for a second. He was born Douglas Elton Thomas Ullman.
Whoa.
Yep. In 1883. He also started acting young, and he ended up dropping out of school when he was 15 so he could do like a touring acting group thing. Now, in 1901, he landed his first Broadway role, but he is best known for his roles in like the adventure genre, or if you're my mom, genre. It was The Mask of Zorro, which didn't even know that was a thing. I thought it was The Mask of Zorro was the only thing. I was like, typo. No. Mm-mm. I looked at IMDb because I was like, what? Then Robin Hood and then The Thief of Baghdad. Now, later on, he actually created his own film company and then signed with Paramount. So they were really like Hollywood bigwigs. Now, they met at a party in 1916 and it was love. Oh, my God. You know when you're writing stuff and then you read it back? But I said it was love at first time. What? But it could have just been lust at first sight, because the thing is, they were both married, which, again, reminded me of someone I know, Blake Shelton and Miranda Lambert. I don't know them, but like...
Yes, reminded me of somebody I know.
But I meant like someone else in like where I can relate to it. That was a huge thing. And even like Garth Brooks and Trisha Yearwood. Why is everything country to me? I don't know.
But, okay... Garth Brooks and Trisha Yearwood, although they had met, they say they really didn't start the relationship until after he had left his wife.
Well,
I'm just saying. Now, do I think that they had like fallen in love and like had an emotional affair? Even if they weren't having an emotional affair, like they were already,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
But they say that they had nothing was going on until after he and his wife separated.
It could have been not physical, but it was emotional, and that's an affair.
For sure.
So they met. And again, they, you know, were married, but they had this whirlwind love affair and they would travel together and they were on movies together. So it was easy for them to travel and do all the things. And Douglas ended up divorcing his then wife in 1918. And in 1920, Mary divorced her husband. And then 26 days after that, Douglas and Mary got married to each other. And the headlines read, "Everybody's hero is marrying America's sweetheart." So, like, if that can tell you anything, it was like...
Yeah. Also, that is a lot of pressure.
So much pressure.
As Miley Cyrus would say, I'm under pressure and I'm nervous.
It's funny that you say that because it did remind me of Miley Cyrus a little bit because she transitioned from kid to adult and she went so hard that way so she could be taken seriously and like being like, I could say fuck, I could say all these things, mm-hmm. I can do all of that. And like her audience didn't follow her at that first time. You know, it was like, I don't know about this. But now like, hello, we all love flowers, okay?
Yeah.
All right, so to start their new life together, they bought the land where Pickfair Mansion would be built. It was a hunting cabin on the land, and it was 18 acres of land. And I see your nipples getting hard over here.
I just want some land.
You really do. With the help of millions of dollars and an architect, we don't know. Tell us which one it is. It's a T silent. I don't know. The T of it is, I don't know how to pronounce words.
And the T of it is, how do you say architect?
Architect.
I think it's architect. Architect. How the fuck if I know?
Y'all, please tell us. So they transformed this quaint lodge into a 4-story mansion that had over 25 rooms. Also, it's rumored to be the first house in Hollywood with an in-ground pool.
Ooh.
Now, of course, they had other luxuries like tennis courts, yes, with an S, horse stables, but something I feel is unique to only them, there was an underground running track because Douglas, old little Dougie Doug, he liked to jog in the nude.
Oh, well, whatever you're into, man.
But how is that comfy, though?
I feel like your balls would be, like, flopping really bad.
Also, your dick.
Well, no, not everybody sticks out.
But, I mean, like, if it did.
Yeah, no, that would definitely be uncomfortable.
But any of that, like, just, I don't see it.
No, I don't know, but I mean, you know.
I mean, yes, to each their own, but I was like, but how? But also, can you imagine the first time he's like, you want to go running with me?
Right.
What? You're taking off all your clothes, but you still have on your shoes.
It's like me during sex. Except it sucks.
You're not wrong. So the house was bedazzled like my boo before, you know, that Halloween special. But seriously, it was dripping with sparkles, jewels, lavish furniture, decor from their vacations that they took all over the world. And it was the place to be if you were anyone in Hollywood. And hell, even life in general. Because their guests included the Duke and Duchess of Windsor, F. Scott Fitzgerald, Joan Crawford, FDR and Eleanor, Thomas Edison, Helen Keller, and Albert Einstein. I mean, that's just a little bit fraction of the list, you know? But like all of those are so different, I feel like. But it was the who's who was there.
I was about to say, that's literally every single famous person from that era.
Right.
Like everyone.
Life magazine published this quote and it said, a gathering place only slightly less important than the White House, but so much more fun. Because they're not wrong. Like the president was there, like the freaking prince and princess. However, the couple ended up getting divorced in 1936.
Because that's too much pressure.
Yeah. And now some say that Douglas lived in the mansion after the divorce, but just like in another wing of the house. But then others say they were just divorced and nothing. But I do know that Mary ended up marrying another co-star of hers, Charles Buddy Rogers, and that was a year later. Now, Douglas passed away in 1939, and then Mary passed away in 1979. And Buddy and Mary were still living at Pickfair when she died. But word on the street was that Mary had become somewhat of a recluse. Now, they did hold some nonprofit galas and all of that at the house, but Mary didn't have to leave. You know, they came to her. But even during the 48th Academy Awards in 1976, she was awarded another award in honor of all of her contributions to making the film industry what it was. Because also, she's a trailblazer, because her friend D.W. Griffith, they were with Charlie Chaplin and Douglas Fairbanks, her husband. They set up their own production company, United Artists. But I thought that was cool because that used to be our theater here. And also, you like at the beginning of some of the movies and stuff, you'll see like that United Artists
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, they made that. And like, especially for her, like it wasn't something that people, like women could do.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
When she accepted that award, it was from her house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Which again, just further kind of proves that she was a recluse. Now, a lot of people say that her childhood was pretty hard because her dad had a problem with alcohol. They said that later in life, she started having those same problems and everything. And so that's why she just stayed home, stayed to herself.
Well, and she probably was responsible for literally everyone and all the things her whole life. Like, she was probably the one that made the money for her family and all of that when she was younger. And I mean, that takes a toll. That can really affect a person.
Yes.
Especially a child. I mean, just look at every single child actor that has ever come out of Hollywood.
Right. And you're right, though, like, because they did. I mean, not saying that actors don't work hard now, but they didn't have the rules and regulations.
Right.
You know, back then. And so, like, we hear all about, like, Judy Garland and how, you know, like, I love The Wizard of Oz. And then they had to ruin it for me of how, like, she was treated and stuff.
Terribly she was treated.
So it's like, this was before her. So you know that she was treated terribly. And like you said, made to work so much. So I can only imagine when you stop doing that, what that does to you too. You know, like you're, I don't know. So I don't blame her. Now, after she passed, Buddy sold the house to the owner of the LA Lakers, who had it for a while, but then it passed to the hands of Pia Zadora in 1988. Now, Pia was an actress and a singer, but I didn't really know her. But she had won some awards, but she won a lot of those Razzie awards, too. And I think the reason that they could afford the place was because her hubby, who was like 30 years older than her, was well off. He was like a businessman. But also, get it, girl. And does he have a brother?
Probably passed away at this point, but maybe.
I mean, generational, whatever generation would be my age. Does he have that?
I was like, yeah, generational wealth. If they had that much money, they probably have it.
Right. However, in 1990, Pia made headlines when she announced that she was having to demolish the Hollywood treasure known as Pickfair. She said there was too much termite damage for them to repair the home, and it was better for them to rebuild from scratch. However, later she said, okay, it wasn't termites, it was ghosts, and we were at our wits' end. But this isn't the first time ghosts have been mentioned at Pickfair Mansion. Now, Mary Pickford, she thought there might be a spirit or two in their house. She said that she was a very heavy sleeper. She was awoken by loud footsteps on several occasions. She said that it sounded like someone was heavily tramping in the attic. She even mentioned that there were weird sounds and experiences in an interview where she confided that one time she had shot out of bed due to some loud thumps and bumps and thuds. And she said, I wouldn't treat you this way. It isn't ladylike. I don't expect to be treated in this manner. And she said after that, the sounds stopped like that night and everything. And she was able to drift back off to sleep. I just love because I could just picture her being like, it isn't ladylike.
Right.
You know how we say our phones listen to us and TikTok picks up the algorithm? Like, so I was doing the research for this Hollywood era of stuff. Remember that TikTok I showed you where it's black and white and that lady says, I'd kiss you, but I have to go wash my hair. Bye.
Yes, that was so funny.
But like, so that's all I picture when she's like, it's not ladylike. Yes. Bye. Oh, gosh. Another person who claimed to have an experience in the house was their personal chef. And Mary called her an, quote, unemotional Swedish woman. Apparently, I thought that was really funny because I said, bah-ha-ha-ha-ha. What was I on when I did this? I don't know.
Why is that funny? That's terrible.
Right? Don't know. But in my head, it reminded me of the Marvelous Miss Maisel or whatever from their cook. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't remember that.
What?
You know what? It's been a while since I've watched it.
Okay. So the cook ran out of the kitchen with a knife raised, saying that she had just saw a dark woman in the kitchen. then a friend later had said that she saw a dark woman and they hadn't talked to each other, obviously, or any, you know, like it was just a random thing. And so Mary was like, okay, like that's who's fucking tramping up in the attic. Another friend said that she saw the dark woman up on the stairs and she looked puzzled, like looking side to side. But when she went to speak to the woman, that lady vanished. There was another guest at the house that witnessed a male apparition by the front door and then one who was carrying sheet music. Now, after Mary passed, Buddy claimed that he saw a woman in white appear and disappear in front of him. And he was like, that was Mary. And other guests had later seen this woman in white appear, and she would appear on the stairs in the den, and everyone said that it was Mary. But now, the biggest ghost story comes from Pia, and she told her story on Celebrity Ghost Stories. It was her, her hubby, and their two kids who moved into the mansion. Pia went on to describe how enormous the house was. She said it was broken into three wings, the guest, the master, and the children's wing. And I don't know why, but every time I hear wing, do you know what movie I think of?
Beauty and the Beast?
Yes! Now, for the first 2 months, her husband was away on business. She said it was normal for the most part, but then the activity began. Her kids had come to her screaming and said that they could hear girls laughing, but no one was there. Then Pia had like taken the kids back to their room and didn't hear anything, didn't see anything. So she thought they were just making it up because they wanted to stay up late or to sleep with her. But then it happened again the next night. She said that she had just put the kids to bed and got in bed herself. She was woke up by her daughter screaming bloody murder. Soon her daughter was in the doorway and was talking about a tall woman who was standing there above her bed, and she woke up because she had this weird feeling. She said that the woman was wearing a white gown and she was laughing. Pia brushed it off as a nightmare or something, you know, and even took her kid to therapy to see if something was wrong mental health-wise. Tell me you have money without telling me you have money. And I'm glad that she did take her. Like, she wanted to make sure she was coping well.
Yeah.
Because, you know, all of that. And it's like, I'm glad she did. And it wasn't just, you're imagining this. It's like, shut up. You know, that kind of thing. But I was like, damn. Like, it's just different. She can afford therapy.
Right.
But the therapist said that she was fine. And it could just be how she was coping, living in the new house, her dad being away, you know, all the things. Big changes. So that gave everyone peace of mind. However, fast forward to another night and Pia woke up to the sound of breathing. And then the breathing turned into laughing. And so when she finally opened her eyes, she saw the same woman in white, just like her daughter had described. She said that the lady had sunken in eyes and the white gown looked like it was from the 20s. When Pia screamed, the apparition disappeared. So now she knew it wasn't just the kids. She had had an experience too. Now, she said that she didn't know the history before buying the house. And so when she had this experience, she went and checked out the history and she was like, oh shit, no wonder this ghost had the 20s gown on. But I don't know. I feel like that's mighty convenient because this was the mansion of all mansions in Hollywood. And she was an actress and stuff. So I just feel like
she would have known.
She would have known. I feel like that would have been a selling point.
Right.
You know, it'd be like them saying, this is the Pickfair Estate. Why is it called the Pickfair Estate?
Right.
Oh, it's because of blah, 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 blah.
Right. Look at you try to poke holes in these people's stories. I'm rubbing off on you.
Oh, take your cooties back. But I will say, Pia said that Douglas was a womanizer and one of his side pieces had partied a lot there with them. Unknowingly to Mary, you know, they were having a fling, but she would be at all the parties and she ended up dying there too. But now I hadn't heard any of this, so I don't know.
How shitty.
Right.
Like, don't have an affair, first of all, but bet don't bring them in my fucking house.
Right. Now, Pia said that they brought in a priest to cleanse the house, but things didn't calm down. The kids were still very scared, and so they were sleeping with Pia. They all heard the laughing sounds and the woman in white standing there above the bed, and she just began laughing louder and louder and louder, and she wasn't disappearing this time. So Pia and the kids ran outside. They didn't even bother to put their shoes on, and they went and they stayed at the Beverly Hills Hotel that night. Now, Pia said that she didn't feel like she had a choice. She said all she knew was that she could tear down the home where the spirit was residing, and so that's what she did. She was quoted as saying, quote, "You can deal with termites and you could deal with plumbing issues, but you can't deal with the supernatural." And that's the reason why they destroyed the Pickfair Mansion. Now, here's the thing. Do you think she made up this haunting because she heard it was supposedly haunted before, and maybe like just to lessen the blowback that they had got about tearing down the mansion? Or do you think it was actually haunted? Or could it have been both?
I mean, I guess it could have been both.
I just feel like they tore it down and people were mad mm-hmm. and all the things. And so it's mighty convenient to be like, oh, you know,
it's haunted.
Uh-huh. And she had proof of like Mary talking about this in different interviews and things like that. Mm-hmm. So it would give it credibility. So I don't know. But it does hurt my heart to think about like this huge piece of history being torn down.
Yeah.
But also like they bought the land, they bought the house, they can do what they want with it. But it's like, why buy it? Like just to tear it down?
Yeah. I don't know. Because you're right. Like, why do all of that just to tear it down? But people do weird shit.
Yeah, they do. But also, I'm like, okay, if you believe in ghosts and all of that, you should know that just tearing down the house isn't what gets rid of the spirit.
I was kind of thinking that, too. I was like, did it do anything?
She said it did. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, again, it's just mighty convenient. Maybe it really was like her husband was like, just deal with it. And so she dealt with it how she could. I don't know. Not everyone has the bandwidth to get another priest, to get another this, and to do all the things. And
nor the money. But I mean, they had the money. But, you know, when you think about. Yeah. But like when you think about people who have like sunk all their everything into these houses that are, you know, supposed to be haunted, and it's like, we'll just move. And it's like, well, they can't, you know?
Right. Also, if her story is true, the woman seemed to be getting like more brave and could stay there longer, you know, because at first she was just like laughing and then disappearing once they saw her. But then that second time she was just laughing louder and louder and not disappearing.
Yeah.
So maybe she was just like, I don't want to see what else she does.
She's capable of. Yeah.
But I felt like we hadn't had a haunted house in a while, so.
Yeah. I just, like, keep going back to the amount of pressure on that couple being, like, America's sweethearts.
Everybody's hero and America's sweetheart.
Well, I feel like, I mean, I'm trying to think of who all, even of our generation, like Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
And then, even now, I feel like there's a lot of pressure on Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift.
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, her and everybody, but for sure those two.
Yeah. That's what sucks, because she does seem so happy and this seems so amazing, but it's like we're all so invested in her happiness and stuff, but it's like it does put on that pressure because it's just going to be like, God, again. Also, I'm just like, how is she single? Well, she's not single anymore, but like how are relationships not working out for her?
Well, and that's why everybody is like, can y'all please stop talking about TikTok and Taylor Swift? But I feel like that's what's different about Travis Kelce is that everybody else has tried to hide her and tried to like make themselves bigger with her and lessen her. And he's like a literal video of him being like, ta-da, here she is. You know, like, look how much we all love her. Isn't she so great?
Yeah. You know that TikTok song that's like, is someone going to match my freak? Basically, it's like, I want someone to match my freak. Like, whatever I do, like, I want you to be able to do it with me.
Yeah.
And I feel like they do.
Yes.
Because, again, she is, like, we know her.
I know.
She God, is you're the getting worst. To do this. God, just really invested, okay?
Why are we like this?
I don't know. But, like, I didn't know who he was before the whole Taylor Swift thing. Like, before he went to her concert and did all the things. we were talking about like what we like about people. What's the first thing you notice about someone? And someone had said their eyes. And I was like, you know what? I love when Travis Kelce smiles and he has those crinkles, mm-hmm. like the little things. And I'm like, he just looks so happy and kind.
But, you know, Taylor Swift kind of has those eyes, too. Like, mm-hmm. she has that smile. Because I've often thought, like, they both have such a good, pure, genuine smile.
Yes.
Well, speaking of things that are good that we got to tell y'all even more about, we have to talk about Miracle Made. I was literally laying in bed last night and was like, I've got to order some more Miracle Made sheets because I've got just the one set. And I'm like, why have I not bought more? Like, why have I not used this promo code and bought more? Because I need another set. So I was like, what color should I get this time? Because it kind of got like a pink color this time, like the first time. So I'm like, what do I want now that we've changed the bedroom?
Yeah. I got like the mossy green color and I want the pink color now. But I will say, I was laying in bed last night and I said, oh, I have got to get more Miracle Made sheets because I was so hot.
Isn't that so funny?
Like, so hot. And I feel like I'm more conscious about it now because it was so carefree when I had my Miracle Made sheets on that I don't even think about it. It's just comfortable and everything is great. And this, I was like, is my fan on? Like, I just feel hot. I feel sticky and gross.
Because it is hot outside. Well, if you don't know what the heck we're talking about, we are talking about Miracle Made sheets and bedding. And what makes them so special is that, like we said, it is hot outside and your nighttime bedroom temperature has such a huge impact on your sleep, i.e., like Donna was just saying. So if you wake up too hot or too cold, you need to try Miracle Made's bed sheets because these sheets are inspired by NASA and they're silver infused fabrics that are temperature regulating so you sleep perfectly.
All night long. I literally tossed and turned and Birdie got down from the bed and went into her bed, like on the floor, her dog bed. And I was like, I'm sorry, I'm hot. Like I needed to kick a leg out. I needed to do all the things. And I literally said, tomorrow, putting my Miracle Made back on. The only reason I didn't have them on is because I was washing them. So you're right. We need a second set.
The good thing, though, about Miracle Made is that you actually can launder them 3 times less because they're silver infused. They prevent 99.7% of bacteria growth. So when you're like Donna and me, and you only have one set right now because why, I don't know. Well, we don't have to launder it that much, so we can actually keep them on for longer.
Because they have a whole line of self-cleaning antibacterial bedding, and it prevents up to 99.7% bacteria growth. Because if you haven't heard, your bed sheets can harbor more bacteria than a toilet seat.
So don't take our word for it. These self-cleaning, self-cooling bed sheets are not just, well, all of those things. They are so luxurious and soft and comfortable. Everything that you want in sheets without that expensive price tag. But Miracle is so confident in their product that it's backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you are not 100% satisfied, you're going to get a full refund. So right now, upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/creep to try Miracle Made sheets today.
And when you go to trymiracle.com/creep and use the code creep, you can claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40%.
Plus, if you use the promo code creep at checkout, you're going to get an additional 20% off. So you go to trymiracle.com/creep. That's going to get you 40% off. Then you use the code creep at checkout. That's going to get you 3 free towels and an extra 20%. So this is the time, y'all. Y'all have got to do this. And I'm telling you, when I say y'all, I am talking to myself because your girl needs to do this too. Head on over to trymiracle.com/creep and use the promo code creep.
And tell us what colors you got.
Yeah, because I want to know because I can't decide yet. Okay, so this story was mentioned in a Sinister Sightings not too long ago. And so I was like, gotta do it. So here we are. Picture it. August 12th, the year is 2000.
Ooh, my birthday just happened.
So there's a couple. Billie Jean Rogers is married to Donald Rogers. Now, Donald was a bit older. He was 74.
In 2000?
Yes.
Okay.
And he was a self-made millionaire who married Billie Jean. Now, Billie Jean liked to gamble and do all the things.
Sounds like my type of girl.
Well, Billie Jean's sister had a child. Now, this child, who is now a grown-up, their name is Von Lee Titlow. So, Von Lee Titlow, at this point, is an adult, and she and her aunt, Billie Jean, are, like, running buddies. They go to the casinos, they're doing all the things together.
Where is this?
This is in Troy, Michigan.
Okay.
One day, on August 12th, 2000, Billie Jean and Von Lee come home from the casino. When they get there, they see Donald laying on the floor in the kitchen, passed out. Donald, who goes by Don, he had a pretty significant history of alcohol abuse. So that's kind of what they thought was going on. He was passed out. But then they realized, no, he's passed away. Like, he's gone. So they called 911.
He's not passed out. He's passed away. Just how you did it.
Yeah. Like, sometimes I'm the worst storyteller. I have a podcast and tell stories.
Like, it sounds like a line from the movie that Mary Pickford would be in.
Yeah.
Also, how have you not said Billie Jean's not my girl?
I have self-control.
Okay.
There was no signs of foul play when the police got there, and they ruled the cause of death as alcohol poisoning because of his chronic liver cirrhosis, and his blood alcohol level was 0.40.
What's the legal limit?
Well, here it's 0.08.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So I listened to it on this one podcast called True Crime Connections, which I think actually used to go by a different name because, like, they kept saying the title was different, which I can't remember. Anyway, but on that, they said that the legal limit in Michigan was 0.1. So he was literally four times the legal limit.
Holy shit.
And I feel like police did kind of look at things, but there was literally nothing to indicate any foul play. So Don was cremated, and Billie Jean, who had grown up in Tennessee in this very impoverished family, it seems like, was now this millionaire on her own. Because Billie Jean was the kid who was like, I'm leaving this town, and when I come back, I'm going to be a millionaire. And she finally was. So Von Lee lived in Nashville, and then she ended up moving to Chicago, which is where she was living when she and Billie Jean were prowling the town. Like, she would go visit her up there. They'd do the gambling, all the things. And Von Lee was really living with Billie Jean and Don at the time, but she kept her house in Chicago, too. Don had four kids and seven grandkids. But because he was married to Billie Jean, all of his money went to her. Now, after Don died, when Billie Jean got all this money, she actually gave a good bit of money. I think it was close to like $100,000. Don't quote me on that amount, but a good chunk of money to Von Lee. Now, Von Lee ended up going back to Chicago. Now, when she was in Chicago, she had this boyfriend named Danny, like, she was kind of talking to before she essentially moved to Michigan to be with her aunt and uncle. And they had reconnected when Von Lee went back to Chicago. One night, they are really connecting, they're drinking, all the things. And Von Lee tells Danny, I have a secret, and I have to tell you.
Oh, God.
And so Danny's like, what is it? What's going on? And Von Lee says, I am trans. I was actually born Harry Von Lee Titlow. She had had top surgery, but she hadn't had bottom surgery yet. And so she was like, I feel like, you know, before this goes any further, I have to tell you this.
Why did I go immediately to that she killed Dawn?
Well, then she says, but there's one more thing.
Oh, fuck.
She said, I have to tell somebody. I helped my aunt kill my uncle. She said that, like, she had to tell someone that her aunt promised her money so that she could get bottom surgery, and that that's why she helped her, all the things. And she was like, I have to get this out. So Danny does whatever he has to do to, like, round out the night, because he's going to go tell police, but he can't just be like, cool, I'm gonna go. You know, he is like, okay, you know, I don't know what he says, but he didn't, it wasn't a point where he like cut her off and then they never spoke again.
Right.
So once he gets the fuck out of there, he ends up going to police. Now, at first, police were like, is Danny just pissed because he just found out that she's trans and he's like trying to do something terrible to her because he feels slighted? Or is Danny really telling the truth? Because again, there was like some oddities at the crime scene. Like there were some marks on Don's face that could have been marks from like a pillow suffocating him. But there really wasn't anything at the crime scene pointing to foul play. The police were like, can you wear a wire? Like, can you get us some more information? Because again, there's literally nothing for us to say that this is murder. And now he's been cremated. Like, we got nothing. Danny was like, abso-fucking-lutely. Well, luckily, Von Lee called back in order to, like, try to set up another date. So Danny gets more details. Von Lee says that she and Billie Jean did come home that night and find him unconscious on the floor. But Billie Jean was like, help me pour more alcohol down his throat. And then Billie Jean smothered him. So Von Lee helped to pour the alcohol. Then she says she left the room from there because she could not be any part of the actual murder.
Okay, here, again, I'm just really dumb this episode. But
this episode?
Okay, I knew you were going to say it. But if he's laying there unconscious, can he actually swallow more alcohol?
I don't know. I was wondering that too. I was like, also, I feel like that would have gone everywhere. Like how... Maybe. I don't actually know.
I just feel like it wouldn't work that way. Like, you would have to put something down their throat to make it go, I feel like.
No, I wondered that, too. I was like, is that a thing?
Because I would feel like, don't do that, because they're going to be like, why is it, you know, it's been, I don't know, it would just be different, I feel like, than if he was actually drinking and consuming that.
I don't know. And I'm like, tried to like quickly Google it and I'm like, oh my God, people are going to think I'm trying to kill someone.
Right. I was going to say, you're going to get arrested.
But even then though, I was thinking about, let's say somebody who has diabetes and their blood sugar has bottomed out and you're trying to get like them to drink some Coke or something. I mean, like I know my sister that's a type 1, she has a glucagon injection that like if hers bottoms out like that and she's like not herself, you almost like an EpiPen, but it's to bring your blood sugar back up. So, I mean, there's that, like, don't pour Coke down their mouth. But I'm just thinking, like, if somebody was like, we got to get something, you know, you can't put a peppermint in their mouth, you know.
Right.
You're like, drink this orange juice, you know.
But at least they're conscious.
Not always.
Oh, really?
No, no.
Oh, well, fuck, I don't know.
I mean, in that case, again, give the glucagon injection, but I don't know. I know we got some speech language pathologists that listen, so y'all hit us up.
Literally me. What does that have to do with anything? But I get it. Okay.
They're the swallow specialists.
Yeah.
They're the Hoctui girls and boys of the therapy world. What is it? Hoctui? What do you say?
Hoctua.
Oh, I say, what do I say?
Hoctui.
Cut to the police end up arresting Billie Jean Rogers and Von Lee Titlow. They charge them both with murder. Now, of course, Von Lee is like, Billie Jean did this. Like, I didn't suffocate him. She did with a pillow. Like, I didn't do this. And there is, like, follow the trail of money. There is record showing that after Don's murder, allegedly, that Billie Jean bought herself and Von Lee new cars for $30,000. And then she gave her $100,000, which was the cost to cover the gender reassignment surgery. Now, like I said, Von Lee had already had the breast augmentation and was doing hormones. But again, he had already been cremated. So it's not like you just go back and run these tests.
What's so funny is when you said he was cremated, I was like, that was fast. Literally, my whole family's cremated.
Right. I know. And,
but it's because this is a story that you're telling. So I know something's not right here.
Right.
But I was like, they cremated him so fast. But what? Like, I can't say anything.
Well, like I said, the medical examiner's report did say that there were the marks around his mouth. So they did have that. They did notice from when the police were there, but also like crime scene photos and stuff, that his legs were crossed. So they were like, not necessarily something that how somebody would just like passed out. But Von Lee's story is that he was passed out and that that's why they did that. So I don't know. Like that detail was always like, well, that doesn't even really make sense because they didn't just smother him on the floor. Like he was already passed out. You know what I mean? Or unless he was like kind of woozy and then they're like, here, have more. I don't know.
Yeah.
Again, people are always going to minimize their participation. So who knows? Like that's me taking what Von Lee said at pure face value. Now, they did find a plastic cup on the floor, but there wasn't any like alcohol spilled to show like, oh, he was walking to the kitchen or he had a full glass and spilled it. But if they're like pouring alcohol down his throat, makes sense as to why there was none on the floor because they're trying to clean up their mess of pouring it down him. So the prosecution was like, well, we don't have very much evidence, so we got to have Von Lee. If we're going to convict Billie Jean as the mastermind and the one who actually killed him, like Von Lee has to testify. And so it was like, what's the motive? All of that. Well, Billie Jean had more than $40,000 in gambling debt. She and Don had some friction because he was like, bitch, I'm not paying your fucking gambling debts. Like, this is my hard-earned money for my kids, for my grandkids, blah, blah, blah. I'm not paying your fucking $40,000 worth of gambling debts. So they offered Von Lee a plea deal in which she had to testify against Billie Jean. And they would drop the first-degree murder charges and just convict her of manslaughter. So it would be a 7 to 15-year sentence for her part. She was like, cool, cool, I am down. Like, I do not want to go to prison for life. I will accept your plea deal. So the court date was set for her to go in. You know, you have to go in. Everybody says, this is the plea deal. We accept. And the judge has to say stamp of approval. Right before that happened, she was talking to a sheriff's deputy because she felt like she wasn't guilty. And so the sheriff's deputy was like, if you're not guilty, like, you don't need to accept this plea of guilty if you feel like you're not guilty. And that sheriff's deputy was like, I got an attorney. Here's an attorney's name. Like, contact them. So she got in contact with Frederick Toka Jr.
You know, that lawyer was like, motherfuck, why are you doing this? Like, I had it all set up. It was right. Easy. It was a layup.
Right. This attorney said that, hey, okay, I will help you. Like, we're going to get you out of this. And for my payment, just give me some jewelry. And
what?
Yeah, like, give me your jewelry as payment. Like, because she didn't have the cash money for it. So give me your jewelry and then give me the media rights to your case. I'm going to make you famous.
What? I don't know if he made her famous.
She was like, deal. And she withdrew the guilty plea. Frederick Toka tried to negotiate for her a lesser sentence because there had been, I didn't really understand this, but from what I gathered, because, you know, I don't have this legal mind. There had been a change in the like Michigan statute to where it had gone from like 7 to 15 years to like 5 to 10 or 5 to 15. So she could have, if this would have happened at a later date, gotten 5 to 15 instead of 7 to 15. This attorney was like, let's get you 5. I'm gonna fucking get you 5. And the prosecution was like, I'm not giving her 5 years. Fuck no. She helped murder this guy. Like, abso-fucking-lutely not. And so her attorney was like, we're fucking taking this to trial then, baby. After that happened, Billie Jean went to trial. But Von Lee was like, no plea deal. I'm not testifying.
Oh.
Billie Jean goes to trial, uses all of Don's money for her defense to be able to ever have a chance of winning this. You know, she gets a good dream team of an attorney and she's fucking acquitted.
What?
Yeah. Billie Jean gets acquitted. Because there's not enough evidence, especially with Von Lee not testifying. There's literally no evidence to convict her. It's purely conjecture of, yeah, there was some markings on his lips that looked like it could have come from a pillow, but was it? Can we exhume a body? Can we whatever? No, there's no evidence. So Billie Jean was acquitted. So now Von Lee doesn't have a fucking leg to stand on because now she's going to trial and prosecutors are like, there's no plea deal. That trial's over. The plea deal was for you to testify against her, and you didn't, so see you at trial. So at this point, that attorney is like, I'm out.
What?
Yeah. So after that, she had a court-appointed attorney, because Frederick Toka was like, I'm out. Billie Jean's done. I'm going to lose, basically. And so he was like, I'm not going to stay on your case anymore.
It's so weird to me that they can acquit Billie Jean of this murder and say he's not murdered, but then still have a case against Von Lee because apparently he wasn't murdered. You know what I mean?
That's not like, what they said. They said because it's beyond a reasonable doubt.
Yeah.
And they could think he was murdered, but they still have a reasonable doubt because they didn't prove it. They could think he was murdered all day long.
True.
But if the prosecutors didn't prove it,
yeah,
then they've got to acquit her. Again, the court-appointed attorney is like, can we get a deal? And the prosecution's like, no, bitch. Like, that ship is sailed. She should have taken that deal. So Von Lee goes to trial. And she is convicted of second-degree murder.
Holy fuck.
She is sentenced to 20 to 40 years in prison.
Oh, my gosh.
Because they had her confession.
Yeah.
They had her on tape saying that she and Billie Jean did it. This is the part that's absolutely heartbreaking to me.
But, like, she had a conscience and told...
No, she had a conscience.
Oh, God bless. Well, I don't even have that, apparently. But you know what I mean? Like, she was like, I can't live with this.
Yeah.
And she's the one who gets all the things.
I know.
But, okay, sorry, go ahead.
Being as Von Lee was born biological male and hadn't had the full gender reassignment surgery... She was sent to a male prison.
No.
She was denied all of her female hormones. And because she had had breast augmentation and without her hormones, her breast literally started to bleed. And
why?
I forget what the, I don't think she had like a traditional implant. I forget, but I want to say she had like some injections to make her breast larger. And so without the hormones to like keep them full, they started bleeding. I think that she was that way for like a couple of years.
Oh, my gosh.
And then eventually had to have a double mastectomy.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, because they had denied they denied any reconstructive surgery because they were like, you know, the prison system deems her male. And so they're not going to do like, quote, elective reconstruction on her. They're just going to do the mastectomy. A lot of things were saying that she could very much so have a civil suit against everybody involved of not like just not taking her seriously and not having her have medical care for this and having it go for so long. But I never saw anywhere that she actually sued them. Now, she did sue the attorney and filed like multiple appeals on ineffective assistance of counsel. And basically the courts were like, you had already decided to withdraw your guilty plea when you talked to that sheriff's deputy. So the TOCA attorney did not like sway you. You had already decided that.
Ugh.
So there's nothing for like ineffective counsel. Because of that.
Oh my gosh.
After a while, Von Lee was transferred to a prison that kind of specializes in prisoners who are transgender. She was eventually paroled on July 13th of 2021 after serving almost 21 years.
Oh my gosh.
She just had such a hard life. And like you said, like she was the one that had the conscience and was like, I can't live with this. Like, wasn't even in the room when Billie Jean allegedly, I mean, she was acquitted. So, I mean, allegedly killed him. But just like a couple of months after Billie Jean was acquitted, she died of cancer.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is heartbreaking. But I feel bad because I'm like, he didn't make her famous, but he made her have no chance at winning.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, that was her decision of pulling. I mean, it is shitty as it is because he did give her so much hope, but she had made that decision to pull her guilty plea. And it was a gamble, you know, and it just so happened that Billie Jean went to trial and she was still trying to wheel and deal and she missed her chance.
Oh, bless her.
Now, what she went through in prison.
Oh, my gosh.
That's not okay.
Not okay.
And just like I don't know, not having access to her hormones and having to have the mastectomy and all of that is just like, when I read that, the gasp that I gasped, I mean, I was like,
yeah.
I mean, I think you actually did that too.
Yes.
That's fucking heartbreaking. Just, you know how, like, okay, not that I've ever had kids, but, you know, after you breastfeed, you have to, like, dry the milk up and stuff, and how painful that is, like, just breastfeeding and the leaking and the drying it up and all of that. And I'm thinking, what she went through with that, you know? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. That's the only thing I can equate it to, because I don't understand.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That just seems so painful.
Not even to mention that, but, like, she had got the top surgery and was almost there to the body that she felt
at home in.
Yes. And then, like, that got taken away from her.
Yeah. I just think, too, of, like, what all did she go through on the day-to-day in prison, in a male prison, as a female? You know, that she was very beautiful. Like, she was, I mean, imagine putting a woman in a men's prison and what she went through.
That's heartbreaking too. Like,
I mean, we're learning and figuring this out, but we're just not equipped, especially in 2000, to figure out this, something that's safe for someone who's trans. And I mean, shit, we're still trying to figure it out 24 fucking years later.
Yeah. God, that's heartbreaking. It sucks too, because Von Lee had, I hate to say, like, turned on Billie Jean, but, like, was telling the truth. And Billie Jean is the only person who could have helped her at that point. Mm-hmm. But it's like, bitch, you turned us in.
Uh-huh.
So, like, I understand not helping her, but then at the same time, it's just like, that's just so hard. Like, I can't even imagine her having to testify against Billie Jean. But if she was so willing to do that, you know, Billie Jean willing to not help her makes sense then, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it's like, you know, you think about Don's money for his kids and grandkids, and Billie Jean burnt it all up on her defense in his murder. And two, like, Von Lee was Billie Jean's sister's child, you know? So, like, you know, this had to have torn their family apart too.
Yeah.
That just, I don't know. This story is just so sad on all accounts. I just feel so sorry for Don and his kids and his grandkids and his legacy and all the things. But God, the things that, you know, Von Lee went through in prison is just, you're awful.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to think about it because I can't.
Yeah, it makes my stomach hurt.
Yes.
And again, that we have not come so far in 20 fucking 4 years.
Yeah, 2 decades.
Well, y'all let us know what y'all think about these stories. Do you really think Donna's story was haunted? Her estate slash mansion?
At least it's not a shack. Also, do you know any toys for Birdie? Thank you.
Not for Donna, y'all.
No, I'm good on those.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to like, subscribe, review, all the things. And remember,
creep it real
and don't get scared.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.